man. Is there someone that says, mercy rewrote my life? If you are here, raise your hand right up, not half mast. As a sign of taking sides with Jesus. While your hand is up, if you have a request, say, Lord, it's me standing in a need of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Father, Lord, we appreciate you for your grace. Were it not for your mercy, where would we be right now? We would be empty spaces, hopeless cases. But by your grace and your mercy, here we stand enjoying the benefits of Calvary. Father, tonight we pray that you might have your way with your people. Bless them, Lord, seeing that time is far spent. Oh God, it's 3 minutes before midnight. We are about to go home, but we want to leave a carnage. We want to spoil the devil. Lord, I plead your blood upon every soul. Everything that your children require is divinely provided by coming to church. Father God, you were here before the service, preparing blessings for your people. Lord, our prophet has never told us a lie, because he was anointed by that supernatural anointing from the fountain of God. He told us that you are here hours before service, putting blessings on every seat. And I pray that your people might be able, Lord, to raise their faith, to say today is the day that something will happen to me. Heavenly Father, you are not short of ways of blessing your people. Father, you bless by much, you bless by few. Lord, there is no boundaries to what you can do. Therefore, Father, we have availed ourselves because we know we will not live empty-handed. We will say like those coming from Emmaus, didn't our hearts burn as you spake with us? Father, we are under expectation because it's only when we are expecting something that you are able to create something for us. Heavenly Father, would like to bless and commit Brother Chester into your hands. As an elder, we have stood with dignity and integrity. May you keep keeping on him, O Lord, and protect him for your grace, that at least we have a soul to point at that has lived a noble life in this generation. Bless our brother. Bless this church, the elders, the ministers. I pray that, Lord, dear Heavenly Father, as a body of believers, they might thrive until your coming, O God. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you might put me aside and use me only as a vessel to, dear God, be, Heavenly Father, a vessel of honor this morning that your people might benefit thereby. Lord, I open my mind and I open it up to you that you might have preeminence. Shut my mouth to the things that are inconvenient and that will not minister grace. Our intention and our desire is that at the end of the service, somebody might be uplifted. The backslider might be drawn back to Christ. The one that's discouraged might be encouraged. The one that's hopeless might receive hope. The one that's got no faith might start to feel their faith coming back to their bones. Heavenly Father, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never change your ways. You chose the foolishness of preaching because you knew thereby that's the only way we can connect with a language that we forgot when we bypassed our theophany. Heavenly Father, bring us back to who we are, so that we realize, O God, that we are not defeatable, neither are we breakable. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Help your people, O Savior. We plead your blood and we pray that your grace might have preeminence. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen and amen. Help the brother standing by my side as he interprets, O God, may we be found in the same spirit, in one accord, that we might have a successful ministration. Father, we are depending on you. There is none like you. You said if a builder builds and you are not in the building, he builds in vain. Father, we want you to come into this sermon so that it doesn't become a vain sermon. For we realize this morning, O God, all quarters of the earth and all corners, somewhere a vain sermon is being preached. We want a virtuous sermon this afternoon. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Blessed be your holy name. Glory be to you, O God.
Oh, Father, thank you, my Savior. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Praise the Lord. I normally give my disclaimers before I preach. I'm not a very deep preacher. So noise kind of makes me think I'm doing something. So when you say amen, I get comfortable. You see, if you are deep, you just speak the words, the amens come automatically. But I know, even my height is not tall. So I know my limitations. But when you say amen, you help me. Amen.
Amen.
And when you say amen,
amen,
in case you are your inclination is to depth, somewhere there in the Bible, if my memory serves me correct, there is a place in the Bible where the Bible says, these things say the amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that's referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham, upon that statement, he makes a statement in the church ages. He says the amen side is the winning side. Amen.
Amen.
It never said the mute side. The amen side is the winning side. So before we start to preach, if you want to defeat your frustration before service, come on the amen side. Start right now. Say amen, somebody. It looks like we have a winning team. Somebody say
amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Glory.
I once preached a message that I called Shouting Religion. Coming from a quotation where Brother Branham says the shouting religion. Is the oldest religion. And he says,
Job,
before there was any religion, we were shouting as the sons and daughters of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I would like to invite you to the amen side
amen,
and introduce you to the shouting religion. Because the shouting religion is the oldest religion. Where were you when the sons of God were shouting for joy? Somebody say amen. Oh, it's so nice when a quotation can be flashed. If you spoke the quotation. Brother Branham was commenting on a sister.
Brother Branham might comment up and England.
I said, the church makes me nervous. They shout a lot. Brother Branham says, sister, if you are this nervous right here, when we get over yonder, there will be the shouting religion only. No preaching. Just shouting the praises of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be His holy name. My, I feel God already. Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord? I greet you once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate
Brother Chesa
for more reasons than one. Amen. He is my uncle. He grew up with my mother as neighbors before he came into the message in Mavuku. And by the way, I was there in Mavuku a couple of days ago. The potholes If potholes were an economic substance that we could get money for, Zimbabwe would be a rich economy. Amen. So that's how I got connected to Brother Chester first. It was through my mother. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That was even before the message came. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And then, on another side, Brother Bandi,
Brother Raymond Bandi
is my uncle. The only surviving sibling to my father.
I'm still
going on a statement. The only surviving sibling to my father, my auntie, was married by Brother Raymond's elder brother.
All right. Tete wangu, vanga vachirungorarama vega vakaroorwa ni mukoma wa Brother Raymond.
That's where my shepherd comes from.
That's my shepherd, ndoko anobva.
Amen. These people know me in and out.
Vana vanondiziya kuseri nekuseri.
So then Brother Chester's sister-in-law,
zvino Muramu kana mining of Brother Chester,
got married to Brother Raymond.
Wakabva rorwa na Brother Raymond.
And we went a very distant relation.
Zvino tanga tine ukama wanga.
We were not a distant relation.
Takanga tisiri vane ukama wekure.
If I go back to my childhood,
ndikadzokera mukukura kwangu,
we would go to Mabvuku.
Taienda kumabvuku.
At my auntie's house.
Kumba kwa tete.
The one that comes after my father.
Avo vanotedzana na baba wangu.
They had a 3-roomed house.
Vakanga vaine imba yanga ine makamuri matatu.
And daddy will be there, Agnes, Raymond, Kiro, Ranga, Eva, the whole list. Mm-hmm. And we'd all sleep in one room. Boys were in a certain direction. Girls were in a certain direction. And we would announce a time to 10. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we are very, very close. Amen. Such that when I heard that it is Brother Raymond who survived an accident from the kombi,
Brother Raymond, wakapona pa accident yemkombi.
It touched me a lot.
Zvandibata zvakanyanya.
Because Brother Raymond ought not to be a man who goes around in kombis.
Nekuti Brother Raymond asi munhu anofanira kufamba nekombi.
You guys don't know his potential.
Imimi mose hamuzive kukwanisa kurima vari.
But I know.
Ini ndinoziva.
Because he was always ahead of us in class.
Nekuti muclass pazvikoro vanga vangori kumberi kwedu tese.
I was in the same class with Philippa. Raymond was 2 grades ahead of us.
Raymond angari mastrima iri
kumberi kwedu. And he was super sharp. People say, Brother Crosby, we might embarrass Brother Raymond.
Brother Crosby, we're going to embarrass Brother Raymond.
That's part and parcel of my nature.
As
soon as I embarrass him, if he's provoked correctly, because I'm a man of God. And somewhere there, in his heart, but it's the truth. This man is speaking the truth about my life. And then he shakes himself like an eagle.
And
then I know his destiny is way higher than that.
He's
not combi type. I'm not looking down upon those that drive that are coming through kombis. You must just understand what I'm trying to put across. If my memory serves me correct, Brother Raymond had a brother-in-law.
Brother Raymond, vakanga vaine tingati mukwasha kana kuti tsano.
Probably had about over 100 kombis.
Vanga vaine makombi anopfuura 100.
Brother Raymond has always been our role model.
Brother Raymond,
he is one man when he repented. and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We who were unbelievers, we could see the marked change. So because of that, I know greater is he that's in Brother Raymond. Oh, come on, somebody. If you believe in him, please give God some praise. There is more to that man than meets the eye. But guess what? You've got to believe in yourself. Brother Branham says, all things are possible.
Brother Branham,
and then he makes a pause. And then he says, with you. With you. This time I'm not talking about Brother Raymond only. Whoever you are, there's not enough devils to keep you down. All things are possible with you. If you can believe it and shout amen, it might be the beginning of a breakthrough. It might be the beginning of a breakthrough. I'm just venting out my frustration with the devil. Because that same Thanksgiving, I would have been told Brother Raymond has been involved in a fatal accident. And there is no way I wouldn't have been hurt. Because I know the man. These are the men that I grew up with. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. May God bless you. Allow me to ask you to turn with me to your Bibles. Can I have a few decibels here so that I don't strain my voice? I ask you to turn with me to my favorite book. I've announced that book here before. How many know Pastor Maliko's favorite book? What is that book? Let us turn to the book of Job. Amen. I love Brother Job. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Next time I come to
Zimbabwe,
I'm going to see a profound change upon the life of Brother Raymond. Believers, now this, Pastor, do you believe it?
Pastor,
is that right? My, to God be the glory. So I'm in the right place at the right time. So someone is in for a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Job chapter 28. Praise the Lord. So is the preaching of the gospel, he casts out devils, eh? It shakes certain things and lets the believer be free. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Verse number 9. I see our brother, he was in UK and was preaching the same message at Brother Chandler's place. So I see him here again. So at least I have one more amen corner. Verse number
9.
He putteth forth his hand upon the rock.
He
overturneth the mountains by the roots. Now when you read the Bible, if you come across where it starts by saying
he,
before you conclude that it's God, read carefully, it might be the devil. Amen.
Amen.
You must come to a conclusive understanding of who you are talking about, who the he is referring to. Amen. So he overturned mountains by the roots. Who is he? The same one that put his hand upon the rock. He putteth forth his hand upon a rock. No, it says the rock. And we know that there was a rock that followed the children of Israel. And that rock was then described by Paul in the New Testament, and he gave us, he unfolded the mystery by telling us that that rock was Christ.
So
that scripture already indicates that we are not talking about he as the devil, but he as God himself. And we will understand as we go, if you allow me to navigate through the scriptures. I would like also to turn to Job chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. Believers out this, that God is able, says here, Job chapter 9, verse 1 to 5.
Job 9:1-5.
Then Job answered and said,
Ipapo Job wakapindura akati.
Again, when you come to the book of Job, if you find you have a favorite scripture, before you say, this one is my favorite scripture, you must be able to know the part that Job spoke, because you might actually like Eliphaz.
Zvino kana wasvika mubhuku raJob, obva usati wati gwaro endora ndinofarira.
So I want to clarify that. You might like the part that Bildad said. Or you might like the part that Zophar said. Then you are now in the wrong side of the scriptures. Because those people were made to repent by God before the turning away of the captivity of Job. And God said, you have not spoke that which is good, like my servant Job. When did they speak evil of God? When most of their scriptures were actually positive. It was the spirit behind the speech. They were not sincere in what they were telling to Job. Because to God, talk is cheap. You've got to be sincere from the heart. Believers out there. So you can say the right words under a wrong spirit. God will still not be happy. Because he sees what's underneath the spirit. So now, I know who has spoken the words I'm about to read. So I can come up with a sermon out of it that will bless you. Because it's coming from a positive character. This is coming from a character that was down and out. But yet still God gave a restoration. God made a way out of no way. So the scripture says, I know of a truth, but how should men be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand.
Kana akada kuvane naro naye, haangagone kumupindura shoko rimwe pamashoko ane zviuru.
He is wise in heart. Who's the he is wise in heart? God. And mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? Is there anybody that was adamant and stubborn with God and his word and prospered? Nobody. Why? Then he says, this God which removeth the mountains and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger.
Iye unobvisa makomo, iwo asingazivi, achiashandura pakutsamwa kwake.
This is what God can do.
Ndozvo zvinogona kuitika naMwari.
He overturns mountains.
Vanopidigura makomo
when he is angry.
Kana vane hasha.
He removes mountains.
Vanobvisa makomo.
They might still remain there.
Anogona kuramba aripo.
But if God has removed them,
asikana Mwari amabvisa,
it's a matter of time. They will crumble. That is why the prophet says, if you say to this mountain and don't doubt it in your heart, you might still see the same mountain there, but a grain has fallen. Maybe next week a teaspoon has fallen. But the mountain is down anyhow. That's when you begin to praise God because you've already spoke the word. To remove that mountain. Somebody say amen to that. So my title this afternoon or this morning is, He removeth mountains by the roots. He removeth mountains by the roots. When he takes off a cancer, he never leaves a residue. He removes it by the roots. Where you are totally healed, there is no relapse. My God specializes in a total deliverance. Believest thou this? He removes mountains by the roots. If it's poverty, if he removes that spirit of poverty, if poverty is a mountain in your life, my God will go right to the root of poverty and remove that mountain by the roots. Somebody say amen to that. So you see where I'm going, eh? He removes mountains by the roots. God is not on a recovery program. He did say, if the elders lay hands on you when you are sick, you shall recover. But now it's different to the woman with the blood issue. She touched the hem of his garment. She never had a recovery. Immediately. Whatever was captivating her life for 12 years was removed by the roots. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, we are not in a Holy Ghost dispensation. We are higher than that. Our journey starts with the Holy Ghost. Our destination is the third pool, where we speak to mountains. And those mountains are supposed to be removed by the roots. Somebody say amen to that. That's my sermon this morning. Give God some praise if you believe it. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for my precious brother, Brother Raymond. Lord, when I've heard that how you've spared him, it reminds me of our childhood, how he grew up, what a blessed young man he was, full of potential, could do anything that he set his mind to do. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that this might be a turning point for his life. Something might shake out of his spirit and say, not again, not ever. Give me my mountain like Caleb did as he claimed his promises. Heavenly Father, I pray for my brother, my kinfolk, Brother Ray. I ask that you might make a way for his life completely, that there might be a thorough change for the glory of God. Lord, I plead your blood. I pray that you might also anoint this sermon with such a blessing that there be so many testimonies that will come by just the knowledge of knowing that you don't remove mountains and you leave roots and residue, but you remove mountains by their roots such that they will not come back up again. Heavenly Father, I plead your blood and I pray that you might have your way with us this morning. Bless our pastor, bless the congregation. Protect your people in this treacherous road that they travel. I ask that whoever is finding themselves on a journey, may they find journey mercies. I pray that you might make a way in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. Do you love the Lord? You may be seated in his presence. Like to greet Sister Bwanya. I often neglect to greet her. She's also my aunt. Amen. God bless you, Sister Bwanya. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They saw me grow up as well. Praise the Lord. This is the first time I've come to preach when Brother Tutani is not around.
Brother Tutani wasiri pakati pedu.
He is not around here.
Avasi pakati pedu pano.
But he is upstairs.
Asi vari mukamuri repamusoro.
It's a statement I drew from Brother Branham.
Echitaurwa chandakatora kuna Brother Branham.
When Brother Branham had gone to see Sister Upshaw.
Brother Branham vaenda kunoona Sister Upshaw.
After the promotion of Brother Congressman Upshaw.
Shirimenge Brother Congressman Upshaw vaenda kunoona she.
Brother Branham went to pass his condolences. And the sister was having a dialogue with Brother Branham. And Brother Branham said, somewhere there, sister, Brother Upshaw is here with us.
Brother Upshaw,
he is only upstairs. And we are downstairs. Amen. He can come downstairs. But we will go also upstairs. Those words did me good. They brought consolation and solace to me. When I think about the loved ones that have been promoted, they are only upstairs. So, Brother G was a man that lived a life of integrity.
Brother G, munanga karara maupenyu, wanga wakachena.
There is a scripture in the book of Hebrews which say, you cannot have a testament until you are dead. Then your life can be written, because then there will be no surprises.
Pani gwaru rimuna Hebrews, runoti.
The death of a testator.
Runota wala kuti. Testament inongonyoro wakana mpupuri wayo afa nekuti hapasina zvimwe zvichazvo zvinozoyamberi.
You can even begin to write a testament about me.
Haugone kutanga kunyora upenyu hwekupupura pamusoro pangu.
When I'm alive, there's the scripture. When I'm alive.
Because
now in the message we've learned that over the years there will be surprises.
Umaridzo takadzidza kuti pane ma surprise kana kuti zvinozoitika mberi zvinoshamisa.
Those that were once our heroes are now putting Brother Branham aside.
Vakambenge vari magamba edu vakuisa muprofita parutivi.
Some are even now gods.
Vamwe vakutozviita vamwari.
So now we cannot write a testament
hatigone kunyora kupupura
when you are alive. Because you might betray our testament. But now we can speak about Brother G. Because there are no surprises. He has run the race. He did what he was called for. He has not brought shame to the message. But he has brought dignity. So for that, I would like to appreciate the Lord. And also pass my condolences to the Tutani family. And also to this family. Because he was also a part and parcel of this congregation. So may God bless you. I believe I've observed all protocols there. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'd like to also greet Sister Chesa and Sister Maliko. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many is happy to be in the house of the Lord? Now, the book of Job is a book that I've already told you is my favorite book. Because Job is the original patriarch. Job is the oldest book. Job is one of those sages that became a pioneer to the things that pertain to God and how to serve God. Nobody knew of how to sacrifice in the way that Job did, and he did it continually on a daily basis. Typifying to us that you don't pray once a month or worship only at Ramadan. You sacrifice daily. Somebody say amen to that. Job showed us that a man can live a life of integrity. There is a time that somebody accused him and said, "You say that your doctrine is pure." But at the time, around the 31st chapter of Job,
chapter 31 kwa Job,
he began to actually explain to people how clean his life was. Praise the Lord. He began to preach and say, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" What portion is there from above? So Job was a man that we could classify or call a role model. Even when his wife told him, "Curse God and die," he never rebuked her. He just said, "Thou speakest like a foolish woman." But most of us would have said to our wives, "You are a fool." But Job was spiritual enough that you can't call nobody a fool. You are in danger of hellfire. When Christ spoke about it as a scripture, Job had caught it as a revelation. So the book of Job to me is very special. It is approached from various angles by many preachers. But I just like the simplicity of reading scripture after scripture. And then draw out something out of it. So my title this morning is that he overturned mountains by the roots. Whatever mountains are in your life, they can be overturned by their roots. Not tomorrow. Today, right now, if thou canst believe, while Peter yet spake, something can happen to your life. He overturned mountains by the roots. This is what God can do. God is not on a recovery program.
Mara avasi pakuti tiri kumbokupai mukana wekuti musimbe zvishoma
nezvishoma. The last church age is the shortest church age. And being that it's the shortest church age, there are certain things that have to bypass the natural process of life. There is a power that has to be shown in the last days that is exclusively a last day power. Not for the Pentecostal, not for the fundamental, but for the type of a believer that came under the ministry that was like Job. And I know no other man other than William Marion Branham. Somebody say amen to that. Somebody say amen to that. Now
Job,
he understood the power of God in his adversity. Through his adversity. By his adversity. So you too as well, you will understand the power of God through your adversity, by your adversity, with your adversity. You will never have a testimony unless there is a test. You will never appreciate the power of the message of the hour unless there is something that pushes you to another level. Had Job not gone through his trial, we would have been robbed today. The number of testimonies and scriptures that came out of the life of Job. The richness of the power of God. The ministration of the power of God in individuals. We would have never experienced it. So at this point in time, I would like to ask you to give God the praise for the trials he gave to Job. Because we are now gleaning and drawing virtue from the power of the overcoming that was presented in the life of Job. So let me ask you one more time to give God the praise for Job's temptation. Hallelujah! Because of Job's temptation, we now understand that God can remove mountains without mountains knowing they've been removed. We now understand that who can argue with God and prosper? We now understand that God is the only way. His way is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Somebody say amen to that. We now understand the uniqueness of being a child of God. The blessing of holding on, waiting for God's season. And I believe Brother Raymond's season is upon him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. He overturneth mountains by the roots. That's what my God can do. Do you believe that? So before we get to the conclusion of this sermon, let's get to the beginning of this chapter. Of how this chapter started. So that we can glean something out of it. Let us go to verse 1 of chapter 28.
Chapter 28, verse 1.
This is commonly known as the chapter of God's wisdom. Because the wisdom of God is the foolishness of the world. And the foolishness of the world, is it works vice versa. Can you imagine that God orchestrated that through preaching, people get their breakthroughs. People get their redemption.
People
get to know who they
are.
If you ask any believer here that has been in the message for a little while, and they are succeeding in an area that they were once defeated, they will tell you
they
are owned from that time. They will tell you they are owned from that time. How many know the prophet preached a message called from that time? Where something significant, a big turnaround. Remember, Brother Branham speaks about this young woman who had gone on and she ended up with the wrong company, ended up in an insane institute.
And
Brother Branham went to the insane institute and says, he saw her, says, and she said, can you start to pray for me first, because I'm not well. And Brother Branham says, no, you are okay. He says, no, I'm not well. Brother Branham says, okay, then began to speak to the young girl.
And Brother Branham tanga kuna matrainin ne kutandi and this is right. Wakati ndoku tanga kurukura naye.
Then somewhere there, Brother Branham said, don't you have a desire to be the wife and the mother and to have your own home, that is home sweet home?
Brother Branham akati haona chicho chekuva mairi kana kuva mudzimai kuva nemba yako.
Trying to get her back to her original victory.
Vachiedza kumudzosa pakukunda kwake kukutanga.
To her original ambition.
Pakuva nezvishuwo zvake zvaiva nazvo pekutanga.
Then somewhere there, Brother Bram says, you know what? God can change your life right now.
Brother Bram ndokuti, mwanangona kushandura upenyu hwako iko zvino.
Let us pray.
Ngatitiona matai.
You pray.
Iwe namata.
And then she prayed.
Ndokubva namata.
Wara. She says, Brother Branham, I'm saved. She says, no.
Brother Branham, the point is going to quit.
Pray.
Namata.
That type of prayer does not overturn mountains. Pray.
Namata.
And then Brother Branham is the one that says, yeah, something has happened now. And he was sure that a mountain was crumbled right there. And when that mountain was defeated, he then testifies, as right now as we speak, she is married to a man who is doing missionary work. From an insane institute to ironing the shirt of a man of God going to missionary work. But yet she had a mountain of problems. But when God comes on the scene, he overturns mountains by their roots. And I want to tell you today, I'm not preaching about what shall happen next week. I'm preaching about what shall happen today. I'm preaching about right now. Somebody today is going to have their breakthrough. Somebody, you know, I like to compare my congregations. I do not know from which congregation. Is it the balcony one? Is it the side one? Is it this one? Is it this one? Or that one? Or that one? But I know today there is a mountain that's going to be overturned. Because my God overturns mountains by their roots. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. The issue of overturning mountains is message food. Is message diet. We come from a dispensation where the Lord said to somebody, if you say to this mountain, be thou cast off, be plugged into the sea, it will remove yonder. That mountain, when you have the Holy Ghost and you speak to that mountain, hallelujah, it does not leave no residue. It doesn't leave a hill. When that mountain is removed, it comes out with its roots. When that problem is removed, today it should come out with its roots. If it's cancer, it's got to come out with its roots. If it's sickness, it's got to come out with its roots. Whatever it is that you are facing, it's got to come out with its roots. Somebody shout, by the roots. By the roots. By the roots. By the roots. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. I'm leaving out of this place. I'm going to be made whole. I'm having my breakthrough. My mountain is coming down. Not level. We are going to the roots. Right to the tap root. Right to its foundation. It's coming down. It's coming down. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. The devil is a liar. Give God some praise, somebody.
Amen.
Don't let the devil persuade you and tell you by and by. We want people that say today. Today. Namsa. Today. Hallelujah. We need crazy people that will not wait for the service to be over. Those that know that just by the title, Zangu Zaita.
My things are fine.
Today. Today. My breakthrough is in the house. Today. My victory is in the house. Today. The devil is under my foot. Today. My things are happening their way. Today. The devil is a liar. Today. I'm not going home the same. Today. Today. I'm going to speak to my mountain. And it's going down by the roots. It's going down by the roots. Somebody shout amen. Somebody shout amen. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. The devil.
Satan.
Knows your character. He knows you. That you like to postpone. You like to procrastinate your problem. Today we have come with a sledgehammer. Zishapera nas.
Today you are going to be
healed.
We are going to be healed today.
That same God that was touched by the hem of the garment. Someone can touch that hem again. Someone can touch that hem again. That hem is still touchable. That hem is still touchable. He is still the high priest. That touched by the feeling of our infirmity. Whatever your problem is, your is giving you a headache. And there is a mountain of sin gripping him. We pluck it out by the roots. We claim their life by the roots. We claim our youth by the roots. We claim our families by the roots. If it's ancestral spirits, we remove them by their roots. Today, we are going to the enemy's camp to take back what he stole from us. Somebody shout amen. Somebody shout amen. The Holy Ghost is here. Oh, hallelujah. A greater than the pool of Bethsaida is here. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost can deliver any place. Anytime, in this atmosphere, not a hoof will remain. Somebody shout amen. Oh, let's get to the shouting religion. The shouting religion is the oldest religion. Hallelujah! 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 How many have ever been bullied at school? Somebody tells you, school started 7:30. They tell you, I'm going to beat you up at lunch time. I couldn't stomach that. To know that 8:30 countdown to be beaten up 9:30. Break time.
Fabric.
11.
11 o'clock.
12. 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
And then you start to see the guy going to the place where he waits to beat you up.
I can't
deal with that anxiety for 5 hours. Of waiting to be beat up.
No.
I would fight you right there. Right there. Don't you know the best form of defense?
Is
attack.
Is
attack. Right now by your amens. We are attacking the regions of the Lord. We are attacking hell. Hallelujah.
Now we want to beat the devil today. And his mother. And his mother-in-law. And his auntie. All of them.
All
the clans. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Glory.
The atmosphere is right.
Upo wamira zvakanaka.
The atmosphere is right.
Upo wakamira zvakanaka.
Let me tell you, it's hard to get the right atmosphere to make things happen. But when the atmosphere is right, that spoken word power, that's when it comes into action. When Brother Branham was speaking about his squirrels, amen. Sister Hetty Wright.
Sister Hetty Wright
was between hospitality and fellowship.
Hospitality and fellowship.
But somewhere there, something in
thee
said, Brother Branham, that's nothing but the truth. And it created an atmosphere. But Deacon Tony Zabel was there.
Tony Zabe,
still judging. That is this emotion. Or is actually God. Yet God was in the business now. Of uprooting that mountain. In them boys' life. In them boys' life. In them boys' life. Somebody say amen. Somebody say
amen.
Now when you understand the power of God, you will understand that God has his patterns. That's why God says whenever there is a lining of stars, something major should happen on earth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's the theology the Magi had. They were waiting for the lining of the stars. And they looked at the date. Says, surely, there must be a Messiah. Then let's get our frankincense and myrrh. And also, while we are at it, include the gold for deity.
Alright.
As in gold themselves see.
But don't use the gold, deity.
Because that which is of God is on the scene. And when that which is of God is on the scene, it means God is on the scene. And when God is on the scene, it means he can uproot anything. Job already said there, he never flattens.
No.
God never even has a breakthrough, a break even. He doesn't do break
events.
How could he do break events when he said, you are not an overcomer. You are more than an overcomer. So now, when you go to the book of Job, and you start to see where the wisdom of God was spoke by Job, until he got to verse 9. This is what he says.
Verse 1.
Surely, there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it.
Zvirokwazvo mugodhi uripo pano wesirivheri. Zvimbo iripo yevanonatsa ndarama.
This is Job.
Uyu ndiJob
speaking about mining.
Ari kutaura pamusoro pekuchera zvicherwa.
Gold and silver.
Goridhi nesirivheri.
Before civilization had those kind of things prevalent.
Budiriro yevanhu isati yava nezvinhu zvichiwanika nekuitika.
But because Job,
asino kuti Job
is the original patriarch,
ndiye mutana wemazvirokwazvo,
God had to inspire him,
Mwari vakatomufemera,
to say certain things that were beyond his time,
kuti ataure zvimwe zvinhu zvanga zvisiri zvenguva yake.
He was ahead of his time,
wakanga ari mberi kwenguva yake.
Amen.
Amen.
Because normally where you find silver,
nekuti pamunoona ndarama,
you find gold,
munoona goridhe.
These metals go hand in hand.
It's
not something that you just learn in the street.
Others had
to go and get a degree in metallurgy.
Others
had to get degrees in chemistry to understand these
dynamics.
But Job,
I see Job.
I don't remember which university he went
to. I
don't remember which college he enrolled in. But God is still showing him these things.
Verse 2.
Iron, listen carefully, is taken out of the earth. And brass is molten out of the stone. Look at how Job is so detailed. I worked at Zisco Steel for 4 years. So iron is actually taken out of the earth. And I used to melt brass. But brass, brass is not mined. Brass is an alloy of copper.
Brass inoumbwa necopper.
And another thing, brass and bronze are alloys from the original metal copper.
Brass ne bronze zvinhu zvinozowanika copper yasangana nechimwe chinhu.
But Job already knows that.
Asi Job ari kutozviziva kapana.
And he never puts them mediocrely.
Asi asingozviisa zvingori zvinhu zvepachiro pekuti zvinonzwisisika.
He puts them correctly.
Anozviisa mugwara kwaro.
This one is smelt, this one is mined, this one is mined. Verse 3. Why this is important is because most of this chapter is concerned with he. He setteth an end to darkness. And right now, someone's darkness is coming to an end. He is the one that said it will be light in certain countries from 4 to 6 o'clock. In certain countries from 7 to 4 o'clock. In certain countries, he is responsible for what you now call the Greenwich Meridian line, GMT.
Greenwich Meridian time, GMT.
You are putting it over, but all the time zones of the earth everywhere were set about by God.
My time zone, Pastor Rossi, aga isko na mwari.
I loved one day I was listening to a tape. And Brother Bram said, do you know that it was Roosevelt?
Brother Bram, Roosevelt.
Because America is governed with Eastern Time and Western Time.
America in Eastern Time and Western Time.
It was Roosevelt.
Angari Roosevelt.
Who started that notion?
Akatanganya.
Brother Bram laughed and chuckled.
Brother Bram,
the kind of information you glean from the tapes.
Ingwe zivo ya unowana kubva mumatape.
Just by listening to tape, most of you actually think Brother Crosby is very intelligent. It's the tapes. You listen to them and carefully. Don't cut the tape. And only hear two parts in the tape. The part you are about to hear is incomplete. Every effort has been made to locate the missing portion. We trust that the portion that you will hear shall be a blessing to you. And then you sleep. And then you wake up, as the prophet saying, I love him.
I love him.
And then you say you've listened to a
tape.
No. You put a tape and you slept. When you listen to a tape, catch the tape. Listen to it. If it means you listen to it four times before you go to the next one, just so you know. Fall in love with them tapes. Are you with me? So here he says, he searches out an end for darkness. And searcheth out all perfection.
Unotsvakisisa
the stones of the darkness.
Unotsvakisisa kumativi ose mambwe ari muri maguru.
And the shadows of death and the shadow of death.
Nomumvuri werufu.
This is how much our God is in control.
Ndo kutonga kana kuti kutungamira kunoita Mwari wedu.
Verse number 4.
Verse 4.
The flood breaketh forth out of the inhabitant, even the waters. Forgotten of the foot, and they are dried up. They are gone away from men. It's not global warming that's affecting human beings.
I see global warming iri kukanganisa vanhu.
Why is it that when you need rain, there is a severe drought. When the rain comes, it will kill all the crops.
Sei muchiti nguva yamunoda mvura kunova nenzara.
Look at the state of the country. Where floods are needed.
Kunodiwa mafasham.
Where rain is needed, it's not there.
Kunodiwa mvura, hakuna mvura.
Where people need something to be dry.
Kekuti vanhu vanoda kuti zvinhu zvinge zvakaoma.
There's never something so perfect. It's because of the lifestyles we've adopted. Because it's all in the hands of God.
It
says, if my people that are called by my name, if they humble themselves and cry out unto me, I will bless. That scripture hasn't expired.
It
can be a nation that is one year in a drought, another year in a flood. Drought, flood, nothing happening on the ground. No man, we are the bride of Jesus Christ. We ought to challenge the status quo of everything. Because as long as the moon is in its place, there will be no floods there. As long as the bride is in its place, it's enough to turn around an economy. Do you know what's killing us? Members of the bride don't know who they are. If the system is working by bribery, they go that way too. And then God doesn't work now.
He
says, I know, brother, that's how these things are being done.
Brother, mazano ndo dzanyadzacho.
Don't you know you are a super species? There is more to you. One of the things that's delaying the rapture is our self-awareness of who we
are.
If that hits you like a ton of bricks, you will begin to carry yourself like a son of God. What you deny is denied. What you deny is denied. Can I still preach? Verse 5. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread. From my knowledge, what comes out of the earth is wheat. But why do we farm wheat? Because we want bread. And bread
chingwa
is sustenance.
Chingwa ka zvinotorewa kuti chengeteka.
Are you with me?
Tiritesere.
Most of our human problems navigate around bread.
Matambudziko edu akawanda ari panyaya chekudya chingwa.
You don't have to raise your hand to agree with me.
Usambosimudza ako ruoko rwako kuratidza kuti ndirikuwirirana neni.
Even some sisters can't decide to be married by a brother who doesn't seem to have a potential for bread.
Zvimwe hanzvadzi dzinogona kutosarudza kuti handidi kuroorwa neuyu nekuti chingwa chinogona kushayika mangwana.
Even some pastors actually advise people that no, you won't have no bread if you get married to this one.
Vamwe vafudzi vanototi uyu chingwa chinogona kuzoti netsei pamberi apo imbomira.
If you catch it by revelation that he gives the bread, and you wake up each morning and you say, give us this day our daily bread, he will provide it.
Verse 6.
The stones of it are the places of sapphire, and it has dust of gold.
Pamabwe ayo ndipo panogara zvibwe zvesafiro anoupfu hwendarama.
Are you with me?
Tiritesere.
The scripture is speaking vaguely so far.
Gwaro riri kungotaura harisi kunyatsojekesa.
We are hearing he.
Tiri kunzwa kuti iye.
Then the element.
Tinzwa
the substance.
Totaura chinobatika.
How it is.
Kuti zvakamira sei chinobatika.
Verse 7.
Verse 7.
Then says, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen.
Zara iwai zikanwi no gondo zisororukozi harina kuiona.
What's that path?
Chikamu ichi ndechipichi. Zira I.
Can there be no path that nothing knows when we have GPS?
Pano gona kuva herini nzira yekuti hapana chinozikanwa iko kune GPS.
But God is saying, there is a path that none of this.
Mari vari kuti pane nzira yekuti zvinhu zvese hazvigone kuiziva.
Not even the vulture's eye had seen it.
Kana rukodzi haruna kumboiona nzira iyi.
Because a vulture is a very special bird.
Rukodzi ishiri yakatsaurwa.
A vulture is unique in the sense that if someone is about to die 200 kilometers away.
Gora rinotoziva kuti kana pane munhu apa akuda kutofa makilometer 200.
Somehow it senses death.
Inogona kutonzwa kuti pakuda kutomuka chokudya apa nzare.
And then they start to go their way to where somebody is about to die.
Anotanga kutoenda ikoko kune munhu akuda kufa.
Before the person is actually dead.
Munhu asati atombofa.
Or the other animal is actually dead.
Kana imwe mhuka isati yafa.
They arrive immediately.
Anobva atongosvika chiripo ripocho.
How many remember one of the saddest pictures that used to come when Ethiopia had a drought? And there was this little child about to die, and vultures were already circling. They operate on a parameter where if they are stationed in Gweru on a dead corpse right now, if another dead corpse surfaces in Bindura, they will say they will rise from there and go there.
Makora anoto shanda, nekam shandreke kudari ku Gweru, kune muna akufa. Achijika akanzwa kuti kubindura kune mumwe atofa anotobva kugwero achienda kubindura ikoko.
The vulture is the opposite of the eagle.
Gora darinopikisana nechapungu.
The eagle also
chapungu zvekare
operates also on a territory of over 200 kilometers as well.
Chinoshandawo constituency yayo inopfuura makilometer 200.
But it only eats a fresh kill.
Chinongodya chinhu chichangofa.
It actually prefers to kill.
Chapungu chinotoda kuuraya choga.
It doesn't like to eat what has been killed.
Achinyanyo farira kudya zvaurawa nevamwe.
No, it likes to kill.
Chinoda kuuraya chega.
I suppose it derives pleasure in seeing life come out of its food.
Ndinofunga kuti chinotonzwa kufara chichiona upenyu uchibuda muchikafu chacho.
But the kind of eagles we have these days,
mando yezvapungu zvatinazvo nhasi,
they like to sleep,
zvinoda kurara,
and wait to be given what has been killed.
Zvomirira kupiwa chatourawo nevamwe.
That's not eagle character.
Hausiriwo unhu wechapungu.
An eagle,
chapungu,
carries four times its weight.
Chinotakura zvinhu zvinorema zvakapetwa kana
in flight.
Kwete kungotakura chete asi chichitobhururuka.
And every eagle here,
chapungu chese chiri pano,
should carry its weight four times.
Chinofana kutakura uremu hwacho zvinopetwa kana.
What do you mean, Pastor?
Pastor, muri kurevei?
If you are a young man who's married,
kana uri wechidik akarora,
and you are an eagle,
uri chapungu,
you should be able to take care of your in-laws.
Unofana kuchengeta kwawakaroorera,
and your parents,
nevabereki vako kwa,
and your family,
nemhuri yako,
and some other brothers,
nedzimwe hama,
because you are an eagle,
nekuti uri chapungu.
Four times your weight,
uremu wako kakapetwa kana.
But when we feel sorry for each other and throw pity parties, we relegate ourselves to hawks. But we are eagles. Are there any eagles here? So the scripture says, no eye had seen it, not even the vulture. Verse number 8. The lion swelps like the cubs, little lions, have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it.
Shumba ine hasha haina kumbopfuurapo kana zvikara zvinozvikudza.
Then verse number 9.
Tenda pa verse 9.
He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots.
Iye unotema dombo noruoko rwake. Unozura makomo nemidzi yawo.
It still doesn't describe who this is.
Hapasati pataurwa kuti ndiani.
Verse number 10.
Verse 10.
Glory. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks.
Unochera mugero woisa nzizi pakati pamatombo.
And his eye seeth every precious thing.
Ziso rake rinoona zvinokosha zvose.
11.
11.
He bindeth the floods from overflowing.
Unodzivirira nzizi kuti dzirege kudonha.
So if God is in us,
saka kana Mwari ari matiri,
we tell that cyclone,
tinotoudza cyclone iyi,
go back to the ocean.
Dzokera kugungwa uku.
Because it's heading towards Zimbabwe.
Nekuti yange dziri kuuya kananga kuZimbabwe.
There's enough potholes, you don't need a cyclone on top.
Isusu tine mapotholes akatokwana, hatisi kuda cyclone kuti iuye iwedzere.
So I need one person to agree with, to tell the cyclone,
kuti tiudze cyclone,
go back.
Kuti dzokera.
Go back.
Dzokera.
Go back.
Dzokera.
Or help me somebody say, go back. Go back.
Dzokera.
You shall hear the weather stations, I just fizzle somewhere. But he is in us. Oh yes, we believe the prophet who said, storm, roll back, let the sun shine for 3 days. We can't be waiting, expecting a storm when we believe William Branham. I remember one day, can I give you a little testimony? One day I was in America, in New York.
New York.
I only booked my hotel for 4 days. And I had spent all my money. I needed to go back to England. My flight was a night flight. And they said there is a blizzard coming. The cab driver I had asked to take me to the airport, he was a black American, says, man, we ain't going nowhere, man. No one's a blizzard, man. And I was holding a spoken word. My wife knows this testimony. He that is in you. That is
the spoken word that I said I was going to read in the flight, during the flight.
I said to the driver, I don't know how many people you've probably carried, a lot of people from all walks of life. But today you've carried a child of God. We've got a family waiting
in England.
So let me tell you what shall happen. He was telling me the tunnel that goes under the Hudson River is closed. They normally close it when there is a blizzard. My airport was Lagadania in New Jersey. So I didn't know what to do. But something said, speak the word. All I needed was an audience. Someone that could say, okay, let's try what you are saying. I said, that blizzard is going to fizzle out. I shall get to the airport on time. I shall fly to my home on time. He says, the planes will be grounded. I said, mine shall leave. Because we have the power to ground planes. Like our Auntie Jemima. We can decide the itinerary at our convenience by the power of the spoken word. If you believe it, say amen.
Glory to God.
I said to the guy, what have you got to lose? If you leave me here, you've lost $50 income for your family.
$50.
Take me to the airport. When we got to Hudson, the Hudson Tunnel, it was opened. He said, man, you're a strange character. We got to the airport. It was dry like this. Dry. No sign of a blizzard. Not even some showers. Got onto my plane. All I could say is the message is you. So if we believe this, and Harare in Zimbabwe is threatened by a cyclone. Something coming from Mozambique. Ah, come on, let's look the eastern direction. And tell it, roll back. Roll back. You believe you belong to the oceans. We have enough potholes. We don't need a storm on top. Not at all. The devil is a liar. This is our heritage. To speak the word and the things happen. Brother Abraham says he's waiting for a church that will speak the word and it will flash like lightning. We have changed the weather right now. Hallelujah! Let me go to my scriptures. He binded the floods.
Verse number 12.
But where shall wisdom be found? You mean to tell me all these things we were hearing, they are pertaining to the wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Verse 13. Men knoweth not the price thereof. Neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not with me. The sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold. Neither shall shall silver be weighed for the price thereof.
We're
talking about the wisdom of God. It cannot be valued with the gold of
Ophir.
With the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal shall not equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels or fine gold.
No
mention shall be made of the coral and of the pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it.
Topaz of Ethiopia ainga enzani nao.
And valued with the pure gold.
Ainga enzani skwinendara mayaka isonaka.
Verse number 20.
Verse 20.
Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding?
Zvino uchenjeri hunobvepiko? Kunzwisisa kunogarepi?
Seeing it is hid from the eyes of the living, and kept close to the fowls, from the fowls of the air.
Sautawanzirwa meso avapenyu vose. Nokudzitirwa shiri dzodenga.
Right. Look at how the narration is given. It's given by an illustration of the things that people value. Things that make people backslide when they have those things. But yet they cannot equal the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is himself tabernacling in a man. That is why James, when he caught the revelation,
James
says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. Now, if the Bible is asking us to ask for wisdom from God who gives it liberally, what is wisdom? Let's skip to verse number 28. Because I've got a few scriptures, so you read the rest at home. Verse number 28. Job. And unto the man, after making the mystery of wisdom uncomprehendable, he then comes and he says, and unto the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now, to fear God and to depart from evil, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For you to walk away from danger, you have to be born again. And to be born again, you have to take the wisdom of God with simple precepts. Because in all these things that God tells you to do, which are seemingly boring, uncomprehendable, cumbersome, and really, really just so, that's where the wisdom of God is hidden. But yet, in that wisdom, when you receive that wisdom of God, and you receive God, He overturns mountains by the roots in you.
Mauri.
Are you with me? And then he makes you a powerhouse. Where you actually now begin to have a revelation of what you have been entrusted with. It's going to get clear. it takes getting clear. Is that right, my brother? Praise the Lord. Now, what you will find, when God spoke about the third pool in the last days, through our prophet, he spoke about it in an unreligious language. To hide a mystery power. And that mystery power epitomizes the wisdom of God. And the secret of how the overcomer and the actual bona fide believer would overcome. Because the spirit would be so close till it will deceive the very elect. So if you say you have a miracle in the message and Magaya has the same, the person that you have invited to church cannot tell the two of you apart. But the message has been exclusively reserved. Oh, I feel religious right now. It has been exclusively reserved for an uninvincible power which is beyond a sensation, which is beyond an excitement, but it's absolute and it's powerful in itself. And whatever it is, if you abide by the wisdom of God, you become that individual that can overturn mountains by the roots. Why mountains? Remember, the book of Job is the original book. So mountains were already spoken that they shall be cast out in the foundation book. Somebody say amen to that. And then in the middle of the book of the Bible comes a character called Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel only opens from verse 1 to 7. Zerubbabel types William Branham. And he says, the seven spirits have been bought. And when Zerubbabel comes, says, I can't understand this vision. And he was told, no, you are not meant to understand the vision. You are meant to say, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall be a plain. How could God allow a statement to be put in an unconventional English comprehensible way? Let's go to Zechariah chapter 4. See how it's written. So that you can tap into that wisdom of God. And then you will be able to understand the dispensation we are in. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 1, let's read how it's written so that you understand. This is an angelic conversation. And the angel talked with me, came again and walked with me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, and I looked. Behold, candlesticks, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and with seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof.
And
the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side, and the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. I assume we all know what this is. This is a very mature church. So I answered and spake to the angels that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord?
ndakapindura ndikataura nengerezi yaitaura ne ndikati ko zvizvi shewangu.
God in his wisdom
Mwari muchenjeri wake
has veiled himself in a vision with candlesticks.
Wakazvifukidzira muchiono chine zvigadzikiro zvemwenje.
And olive trees.
Nemiti yemaorive.
And the prophet now asks.
Profita obvunza.
Interpret this.
Ludzire.
Verse number 6. Says, then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me.
Zvinongirozi yaitaura neni yakapindura ikati kwandiri.
Knowest thou not what these be?
Ko hauzivi here kuti zvizvi?
And I said, no, my Lord.
Ikati kwete ishe wangu.
Then he answered and spake unto me, saying,
akapindura
this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
Iri ndiro shoko ramwari rikuya kuna Zerubbabel richiti, kwete nesimba, kana simba rokukwanisa, asi nemweya wangu, zvanzi naJehovha wehondo.
And then this scripture comes.
Gori rova rauya.
Who art thou, O great mountain?
Before Zerubbabel,
thou shalt be a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shouting, crying, grace unto it. Now, as a mature church, I don't have to go into that. We understand what that means. But look at how the scripture was written. Still hiding the mystery of the third pool. So how it's written is such that Zerubbabel himself, he had to ask and say, I don't understand this. The Lord never made the explanation of the third pool to be veiled. He left it quiet. He simply said to Zerubbabel, it's not for the you know, by might and but if my spirit is in you, you will say, who art thou, O great mountain? It's now not an enthusiasm. It's an indwelling spirit in a born-again believer. And we know that William Branham is Zerubbabel. And he was told to hide the mystery of the third pool. Because he had already explained the other two pools. But this one, by the wisdom of God, is for an exclusive club of a certain type of people. And I believe some of them are here tonight. And in this exclusive club, you will be doing things that your neighbor knows nothing about. So now we are in the middle of the Bible. And then Christ comes in Matthew chapter
17.
Let's go Matthew chapter
17.
I'm about to close now. Matthew chapter 17.
Matthew 17.
I want you to read verse 1. So that people understand. And then skip to verse number 14.
Remember,
it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by his spirit. Verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother,
Peter, James, and John,
and bringeth them up unto a mountain apart. And when they were come to the multitude, they came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and praying. Aha. Why have I put those scriptures like that? From verse 1, Jesus comes with Peter, James, and John. They are transfigured. And Peter says, this is beautiful. Let us build 3 tabernacles. Are you hearing me? I'm getting there now. Then from verse 1 to verse number 13.
Verse 1 to 13.
It's Mount Transfiguration experience.
Chitiko che Mount Transfiguration.
Verse number 14.
Verse 14.
Let's go, my brother.
Handy.
Says, and then there came a certain man.
Haka wa yamunga munu.
Where the matchwood was, and he was kneeling before him and saying,
verse number 15.
Lord,
Ishe,
have mercy on my son. For he is a lunatic.
Nokuti wakarasanjigere,
and so vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire.
Guva jinji anowira moto,
and oft into the water.
Guva jinji anowira omumvura.
And I brought him to thy disciples.
Ininda munza kwa dzidzivenywa.
And they could not cure him.
Havana kugona kumupodza.
And Jesus answered and said,
Jesu akapindura akati,
O faithless and perverse generation,
chizvarwa chisina kutenda chakamonyororwa,
how shall I be with you?
Ko ndichava nemi nguva yakareba zvakadii?
How long shall I be with you?
Ndichava nemi nguva yakareba zvakadii?
How long shall I suffer you?
Ko ndichakutenderai nguva yakareba sei?
Bringing me hither.
Munzei kwandiri.
And Jesus rebuked the devil.
Zvino Jesu akatsiura demon.
And he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence over yonder, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible with you. Not with God. With you.
Nemi.
Now.
Zino.
Where I got the shock of my life.
Weren't
Peter, James, and John in Mount Transfiguration just the beginning of the chapter?
Petro, James, na John, Mount Transfiguration, Patanga chapter.
Are these the same folks that can cast out a demon in chapter 7, in verse number
17.
Which means they were now engaged in a church program. They forgot that the power is supposed to emanate from them. They are now enjoying the presence of God. Seeing Moses and Elijah. And they were so enthused by the atmosphere. Then they said, let us build 3 tabernacles. Because they never wanted to go out there and display the power. They wanted to remain here and enjoy the church service. What we are preaching to you now is for out there. Not for in here only. This is a carryover. When you come out from this service, you need to be able to go and confront your enemy, the devil, by the mystery of not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. This mountain shall be removed. When that spirit is in you, the mountain will not be removed. And the roots remain. Are you with me? Follow with me. To prove what I'm saying, that God removes mountains by the roots. I've heard versions of the third pool. Others say it's wait for the squeeze. Yes, we do agree that. But others are actually waiting, and the devil is doing all sorts to them. They are waiting to use the power. They are forgetting that theirs is actually a squeeze. There is not going to come a bell and ring saying, the squeeze is here.
Robert, ngende squeeze yashika.
Saka kudonza kwechitatu kwatanga. if you are under a squeeze by circumstance, the third pull should work. So here is Peter, James,
Jacob,
John,
Judas,
the rest of the disciples. Some sister, some brother comes with a child that needs a mountain uprooted by the roots. The disciples prayed. They couldn't cast it out. The man was not discouraged to say there is no power. He says, let me go to the proper, to the real Bwana. Lord, I've come with my child to your disciples. They've not cast this out. By that action, he was actually showing that he believes that this thing has got to go out. This thing ought not to remain. So the Lord cast it out and rebuked his disciples. It was the disciples were not catching the mystery of their day. Which is now what we're finding in message circles. We should catch the mystery of our day. Strive for perfection under the wisdom of God. That's what will give you access to what is called not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. So Christ removed that. And then he says, it's your unbelief. You know these things, but you are not believing them. He was rebuking them because they should have been by now able.
They
had been long enough in the message to understand how these things work. But they were still crying to the pastor to cry about their things that they were crying about 15 years ago. So he says, let me tell you, this is not about how mammoth your faith is. But if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, according to the prophet, if your faith is uncontaminatable, because a mustard seed can't mix. So if you can have that exclusivity, that I'm a message believer, I will not be anxious to see what Magaya is doing. Neither will I want to peep to see what Hubert Angel is doing. But I know that this spoken word has got the goods. Because it was spoken in this spoken word that all the bride needs for the rapture is in them tapes. And then you stick to it. It will produce its results. Because the power is not yours. It's God's power that you only need to use. So Jesus rebuked them. And then he told them about the mountain. And then chapter 21 of the same book. He casts a tree. And then he goes. On his way back, the same disciples. Master. That tree that you cast, look at it, it's dried up. Then he takes an occasion again to teach them again that if you say to this mountain, now look at it. We've seen the removal of mountains from Job, the original patriarch, under the guise of the wisdom of God. Just before the Old Testament ends, Zerubbabel comes to throw in that wisdom. And then Mount Transfiguration happens. And then after Mount Transfiguration, a lunatic comes.
The
disciples failed to cast it out. And then he then exemplifies what he's saying by drying the tree. And then saying, you can remove mountains. You can remove mountains. Now, if you look at the trail, and then you go to William Branham now, you will notice the phase of him maturing into the third pool was first a surrendered life. Because it was not by might. It was by power. So if we can amass that surrendered life, we can access that power.
And
Brother Branham, in the message,
Brother Branham, Marizo,
perfect faith,
Marizo, perfect
says
faith.
Jesus Christ had perfect faith. Because he knew who he was. And Brother Branham says, it's not a lack of power. Power is available right now. What is lacking is the faith to operate the power. So we become ordinary Christians. Sitting under a powerful message. Kufane nyota makumbo ari mvura.
Dying your thirst and your feet are plumb into water.
Are you with me, church?
Yeah.
So Brother Branham,
Brother Branham,
to prove that mountains can be removed without them knowing, he went to a place, preached in
Los Angeles.
When he preached in
Los Angeles,
somehow at the end of the service, the Holy Ghost took over. And he found himself speaking words that he had no control. Saying, and thou Capernaum, you who exalt yourself. Put the quote, my brother, I've got it there. You are always in the right place when you read the quote. It's right there on my note. Let's go down. Go down. Go down. 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 Right. Down. Right. Brother Branham, in this message, choosing a bride.
Choosing a bride.
He says, this is a solemn
wedding.
We don't know what time. Let me just read. We don't know what time, and you don't know what time that this city one day is going to be laying out here in the bottom of the ocean. O Capernaum, Jesus said, thou who exalteth himself in heaven will be brought down into hell. For if the mighty works had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, it would have been standing to this day. And Sodom and Gomorrah lays at the bottom of the Dead Sea. And Capernaum is at the bottom of the Dead Sea. And Brother Branham, now the Holy Ghost takes over. Even his voice changes when you listen to the tape. And he says, thou city, who claim to be the city of angels, who has exalted yourself into heaven, and has sent all the dead, the filthy things of the fashions of the things, till even the foreign countries come here to pick up your filth and send it away, to your fine churches and steeples and so forth, the way you do. Remember, one day you'll be laying at the bottom of the sea. Your great honeycomb under you right now, the wrath of God is belching beneath you. How much longer will you hold this sandbar hanging over that? When that ocean out yonder, a mile deep, will slide in there, plumb back to the Southern Sea. And the prophet says, he actually yells at this point. And he says, it'll be worse than the last day of Pompeii. But Los Angeles is still there.
Los Angeles is chirikwa na nasi.
Which means, Los Angeles is the place that is one of the most important real estates on mountains and things, which means people are busy buying houses on hills that are condemned.
Los Angeles, don't jimbo,
in fulfillment of Job chapter 9 verse 5 says, he removeth mountains and they don't know it.
vari kuzadzisa Job 9 nekuti vanobvisa makomo makomo acho asingazvizivi.
Because that was the condemnation to those mountains.
Ndoko akuri kutopomerwa nekutukwa kwemakomo aya.
Then while he was in Alaska,
vanga vari kupari kuAlaska,
took some dust and threw it in the air and he says, judgment has flagged the west coast.
Zvikanzi kutongwa kwatorova mhenderekedzo dzekumadokero.
And he says, it will be worse than the last day of Pompeii. Now when you know this prophecy, it seems so far-fetched, but it's actually so real. Because it was not spoken by a man. Even the prophet had to go and listen to what the Holy Ghost said. Are you with me? Now, he says it will be worse like than the worst last day of Pompeii. Pompeii is a place in Italy. Pompeii had its disaster on the 24th of August,
AD 79.
It was on the edge of a mountain called Vesuvius. Now, the mountain
Vesuvius
was a mountain that people would go and celebrate the god of fire. And they drove out all Christians on their festival. And they blasphemed. And God, because God will never do something that he hasn't rehearsed first. He can't tell you that you will remove mountains by the roots, by inspiration and not type it in nature. So
Vesuvius
was erupted that just one day. People couldn't escape. It's like people were frozen in time. If you were in a brothel, that place still remains. It shows the people that were there. If you were somewhere in a kitchen, brewing kachasu, you were caught with your pitcher. If you were sleeping, really crouching, you were caught in that storm like that. Because it was a storm of fire. But God allowed it to have a preservation method, so that we can understand the message more deeper. That place is a tourist attraction right now. And when you get there, there are even rooms that people aren't allowed to go. Or children to visit. Because they display the whole picture of what was happening that day. To fulfill a scripture which said,
Rinoti,
he that is filthy,
uyo akashiba,
be filthy still. He that is holy,
uyo mutene,
be holy still. He that is righteous,
uyo akarura,
be righteous still. Everybody was caught in their
act.
And it was preserved for us. Now when it says it will be worse than the days of Pompeii,
that
slide, my brother. Listen to how critical the volcanic ash that was released that day was.
It
says, Mount Vesuvius spewed a deadly cloud of volcanic gas. Stones.
Matombo.
Ashes. To the height of 33 kilometers, ejecting molten metal, pulverizing plumes at the rate of 1.5 million tons per second.
1.5 million per second.
Ultimately releasing 100,000 times the thermal energy of Hiroshima bombing.
Kupisa kwa kabuda hapa kwa ipfura mazizana mazi 100,000 kupinda kuputika kwa bombo re atomic re Hiroshima.
Right now people are being affected by the effects of the Hiroshima bomb.
Na nasi vanhu vachiri kuvhiringika nezvakaitika nebomba reHiroshima.
And God was doing it just to depict that He removes mountains by their roots.
Mwari vaida kungoratidza kuti vanogona kudzura makomo nemidzi.
The power that came out of the mouth of our prophet.
Nesimba rakabuda mumuromo wemuprofita wedu.
Los Angeles is a mountainous area, but it's condemned.
Los Angeles ine nzvimbo dzine makomo. But
it might still remain.
But
it's condemned. Do you see that? And then now I bring it to us now. Those that are dedicated, surrendered, born again, message believers, bona fide, Tara, true, bona fide, nothing missing, nothing broken. You eat the message, you add the message, you add the message of the hour. Rapture material.
Vari chaivo chaivo marizo vanova chikamu chemarizo vanoenda mu rapture.
You are not just those that help us contribute for the convention.
Hausiri vanhu vanongoti batsira kuti mari convention ikwane.
You are the convention itself.
Wewe ndiwe convention yacho.
You are the rapture itself.
Wewe ndiwe kubvutika kwacho.
You are all that the message represents.
Iwewe ndiwe utori zvese zvinomirirwa
nemari. You can speak like William Branham when he says, I'm an American. I'm identified with all that America is.
I
was there with George Washington as he crossed the River Delaware. I was there with Stonewall Jackson as he prayed for the water. You are a message believer through and through. You were there with William Branham when he condemned Los Angeles. Somebody say amen. You are there with William Branham when he spoke the squirrels. Because you are a message believer. This is what made the prophet preach the message, why Christ speak. For us now. He's already demonstrated in nature. Brought down Vesuvius. And then said it will be worse than the day of Pompeii. And right now we have enough atomic energy to actually be worse than Pompeii. But what's making us survive is that the bride hasn't caught up with its theophany. So Brother Branham
Zino
preached a message. Why Christ speak?
1959.
And then preached it again. 1963.
It's
in my quote. And he addresses it in the same fashion of Job chapter 28.
Job chapter 28.
And this is what he says. Here, Jesus, everything that he said, he just spoke the word. And it was so. God properly had vindicated him to be his son. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Watch him. I like this. How bravely, how majestically he stood before his critics. Amen. He said, destroy this temple. And I pray the Father and see what he does about it. Is that what the Lord did? Is that what he did? Destroy this temple and I will pray. What did he say? Destroy this temple and I will raise it up again. Specific. In 3 days. Not I hope to. I'm going to try to. I will do it. Why? See, the scripture says so. And then Brother Abraham makes this comment. Let me say it humbly. The same scripture that said he would raise up his body, give
us
rinotipa isu
the authority
simba
the power
simba rokutonga
amen
amen
If he did what he said when he said, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days, and the temple was destroyed and raised in 3 days, it means he was imparting to us the same authority. The same power. So now, if we have the same authority, the same power, should we tolerate the circumstances of our lives? And use a scripture to defeat a scripture. Then we say, all things work together for good. It's okay what I'm going through. And then you read in your Bible that he removes mountains by the roots. How many is hearing me? Listen to this. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents or drink deadly things, it won't harm them. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Why cry unto me? Speak and go forward. And says, oh, bravely. And then he speaks the words again. Destroy this temple. I'll raise it up again. Oh. And remember now, we are closing. It was the same he. It was he that said in John 14. It was he that believeth on me. The works that I do, shall he do also. Is that right? Congregation says, it was he that said so. It was Jesus. In Mark 11:24, he said that. If you say to this mountain, we are back to the mountain again. If you say to this mountain, not if you pray to this mountain, if you say to this mountain, be removed, and don't doubt it in your heart, but believe that what you have said, it will come to pass. You can have what you said. So when the mountain is removed, will the roots remain? Will the roots remain? Will the roots remain? Because he removes mountains by the roots. It's the same he that is saying to the prophet, why cry? Speak and go forward. And then he gives the scripture.
Mark 11:24.
And then he says here, if you say to this mountain, be removed, and don't doubt it in your heart, but believe that what you've said will come to pass. You can have what you've said. Now you, if you say it presumptuously, it won't happen. We are now back to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Which means we ought to actually endeavor to qualify to speak. Are you hearing me? Because you will speak and things don't happen. My guy is speaking. Some are happening, some are not. But as for us, it's a completely different cattlefish. And he says here, but if something in you, not by might, not by power, something in you that you are anointed for the job, and you will know that it will be the will of God for you to do it, and will say it, it's got to happen.
And Brother Branham, remember, he's closing. He that is closing, why Christ speak?
Brother Branham, why Christ speak up?
Then he says, it was he. That said this. If you abide in me, my words in you, ask what you will, it will be done. Oh my. You see what I mean? Congregation says amen. Brother Branham says, pardon me. This is just coming up in me. I got to say it. It was he. That said, that day up there inside the woods, you have no gain. And he created three squirrels standing before us. Now watch this. All he was doing was thinking about a scripture.
Mark 11:22.
Is this possible? Is this real? Can this happen? How real is this? The Lord said to him, are you not hunting? And then that same Lord created the squirrels by his spoken word. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before
Zerubbabel,
you shall be a plain. Says, and he created three squirrels standing there before us. What is it? Just speaking the way. Say, they will be there. And there. And there. And there. And there. And there it was. It was he that did it. Then Brother Branham now just begins to shout. Charlie. Rodney, it was he down there in Kentucky. And Nelly,
Maggie,
and the rest of you, it was he.
Angari.
That same God that back there spoke to Moses, said, why do you cry to me? Speak his word. It was he that brought them into existence. It's he. It's him. Oh my.
Oh my.
Now, if there is a scripture, and there is the believer, and there is the anointing, that's the ingredients that make it possible. Because I know the anointing is already here. The scripture I have already told you, that he uproots mountains by the roots. So we now need to match the believer, the scripture, the anointing. Every mountain is got to crumble. Every mountain is got to crumble. Let me finish with this God in simplicity. Watch the date after the seals.
The
prophet says, God is here now. Christ is in our midst. I'm closing now. Amen. He is willing to give you the Holy Ghost if you are willing to accept it. Not pay the price. The price is paid already. The price is paid. Paid this afternoon. 1900 years ago. If you are willing to accept it. If you are. Let your heart go now. Now I'm ministering to you. If you are, let your heart go now. Let your heart go now. Open it up. Take out all fear, all doubt. Raise up your hands to God. Say, Lord, I am here. I stand here. I stand in the name of Jesus Christ. You can't be sitting and say, I stand in the name of Jesus Christ. I stand in the name of Jesus Christ. I stand in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm speaking these words over your life. Brother Bram says, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to repeat the prayer. You pray too. Here's what the prophet says. Lord Jesus, in the way of humility, in the way of humbleness, I offer this congregation, I offer this congregation, That's on their feet. I offer them to you because they have stood in response to the call. They are seeking deeper things. They are seeking more light. After hearing that the blood of Jesus so thoroughly cleanses them, that there is no more nothing, that the complete word of God rests within them, that the very command of their own voice is creative power, because in them is the Holy Ghost, and this Holy Ghost is a creator. He makes things to come to pass because he speaks the word, and the word spoken becomes God in action. Lord, I pray that you send the Holy Ghost upon every one of them just now and deliver unto them. Lord, in the power of the resurrection of Christ, the things that they are desiring in their heart.
Glory. The prophet says, a better life. How many is here wants a better life? Raise your hands way up and say, Lord, I receive my better life. Brother Ray is receiving his better life. The baptism of the Spirit. Lord, may it be so that this audience will be illuminated and the hearts of the people will see the vision and be filled with the power of God. I commend them to you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I adopt that prophet's prayer upon my life, upon your life, whoever you are. Every problem that exists in your life, if you open your heart right now, speak against that thing, it will be uprooted by the roots. May God bless you.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe we're all standing.